Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. The Lifestyle Coach, and we are ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain with all sorts of different stuff that we can get into with food, all these habits of binge eating, bulimia, overeating, body hate, just being obsessed with food. All of that is no fun, and it's something that continues to get worse, and it's really awesome and exciting to be able to get free from that. So I am super excited for you guys to learn from another incredible, incredible woman who has been through our program, who has shown up and done the work and seen such cool transformations. And I'm super excited for you guys to get to know Leslie. Hello. So fun to have you on. Welcome, Leslie, to the show.
Excited to be here.
So excited that you're here. So excited to just launch in and learn a little bit about you. You have such a just incredible journey. And we usually just start out with, tell us a little bit about your origin story, right? Like, how did this stuff all start with food? Like, what did you sort of see popping up in your life as it got worse? And give us a little bit of a backstory, if you will.
Sure. So I would say, I almost feel like I was born with diets surrounding me, right? My mom, from as young as I can remember, was always, watching what she ate, dieting, doing those things. And I was really lucky, I guess I could say. At the time, I had a younger sister, 2 years younger than me, and she was the one that my mother focused on from a diet perspective. I was the little, skinny rugrat type girl that was sort of just running around and could eat whatever she wanted. She was so lucky, but I always watched my sister drinking Diet Coke when she was in elementary school and, all of those little things. And then I would say it really sort of took off for me from a perspective of, like, this is going to be a disordered habit. I had my first boyfriend, fell in love, that sort of thing. And he made an offhand comment about how it looked like my pants were getting kind of tight, And, I was a normal growing teenager, and that was all it took. And I was like, oh, I know how to fix this, I'll go on a diet. And it went from there. It really quickly sprung into, an anorexia where I was eating very, very little. This was the 90s, so it was all low fat, Fat was the devil. And so I can remember just, eating like white rice and, just ridiculous things. And I ended up dropping a lot of weight, finally got the attention of my mom to the point where she's like, this isn't just a diet, and went through, treatment for that. But it was just, that was really when the cycle began. And I had probably at that point kind of coasted through to about my sophomore year in high school when I had my first binge. And it was that, like, I had restricted and been so successful dieting that it finally, all heck broke loose. And I was just, I'm literally in the bathroom eating package after package of Rice Krispie treats and just trying to hide them in the trash can. And, and that's basically my whole life went through that cycle. I just, every new diet I was going to try ended up in the same thing. And, and that's, how my life evolved basically from, 15 years old to I'm 40 today. Just in that diet, binge, pendulum just swinging back and forth.
And you bring up some really just incredible and important things of, just being raised around this, right? It's like that's what we're taught to do from, you know, an early, early age. That's something that we're absolutely surrounded with, to the point where I think it's really insightful what you said about as soon as somebody made a comment, it's, oh, I know what to do, right? This is the natural reaction. Oh, if my body isn't a way that, you know, maybe somebody else likes, or, you know, maybe society doesn't accept, well, then this is what I, of course, have to do, because that's what we're surrounded by. And that it's not like, you know, we are educated about these things, right? It's like, I'm assuming that you, as like a small teenager, didn't know that like restricting for a really long time, and probably like the praise and how good, you know, it feels to be thin finally, right? You know, really turns into this awful, just like pendulum swing. I know that continues like to get worse. So if that started sort of, you know, in your sophomore year with your first binge and it continued going from there, at what point did you really, does it seem like a problem that first time? Or you were like, oh, that was weird, you know, I'll just have to never do that again. Like, at what point did it really seem sort of out of control and you really saw this as a problem, Leslie?
I think, and it really took a long time. I think for a really long time, I thought this is just how it was, you know, that's what you did. You dieted and then you fell off the wagon, and I didn't really see it necessarily as abnormal until one day, and this is, you know, I was in my early 30s, and I just went through a divorce. I had two young kids, and excuse me. I started to realize that I was doing this every single day, and I was not going out. I was avoiding social situations because I didn't know if I would be able to control myself.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't go out to lunch with coworkers because during the day I was restricting and at night I was binging. So I completely cut myself off socially. I would get mad at my kids if they came downstairs after I put them to bed because I was trying to binge. And I realized, like, this it finally hit me, like, you know, I was going to bed every night feeling nauseous, and I couldn't lay on my side because it was so uncomfortable. My stomach was so full. You know, I had heartburn for the first time. I've always been really, really, you know, kind of, in spite of the cold I have right now, pretty healthy person, you know. I didn't have issues like that. And I could see that, like, cropping up. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, maybe this isn't what I want to do. But to me, even at that point, it was still, I thought there was a diet that could fix it. You know, like, I was just not on the right eating plan. I didn't have
that endless search. So it's really this, you know, endless cycle of, okay, well, I haven't done the right diet then, right? It's like, because we still think that dieting works. So, okay, well, we have to, you know, find the right diet. And then when we've done all of these diets and we're still struggling, was the next step for you as well of like, oh, there must be something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I went to therapy. I tried all sorts of things that, you know, there was something missing. I knew. I'm so sorry.
You're good.
Give me just a second. Going through therapy, trying to figure out, thinking that there was, you know, I needed to process my divorce. I needed to process my childhood. You know, I needed to really dig into all of these things, and nothing seemed to be working. I kept, you know, I was doing great things. I was looking at all the self-help books and, you know, all of those things to try and improve and better myself. And I was meditating and I was journaling and I was doing yoga and you know, all of this internal work. And yet that was still there, that need, you know, that need to diet and then the need to eat all of the food. And honestly, that's kind of where I initially found you. I, had come across a book, Brain Over Binge, and read it. It made a ton of sense to me. But I couldn't quite grasp the principles in real life. Like, I read it and I'm like, yes, I know that's it. I know that has to be it, you know? Like intuitively, I couldn't quite, I still wasn't quite there. Like, mentally I got it. Like, the part of me that, you know, was reading the book was like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. But it wasn't working.
And so, one part that is like, I love that you say that you sort of found like this hope, right? Sometimes we run into some principles where we intuitively know, you know, just like the inner us knows or the higher us knows, like, wait, that rings true. Like, I really think that I could be done with this. I really feel like maybe, you know, all of the things that I've been trying, that it's those things, it's not me that there's something wrong with, which I think is so important. And I'm so glad that information like that is out there, because there are people who will go their whole lives just continuing to try another diet or continuing to, you know, unearth some more, you know, whatever's wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And a big danger that I want to point out in that is when we start, you know, digging into our past and doing all this personal development work, although that in and itself can have value, mm-hmm. when we start putting all of that on top of, well, I certainly can't be done with my eating until I sort through all of this, and since sorting through my divorce and my childhood and everything is probably going to take the next 20 years, I've got a long road ahead of me. And so it completely takes away our power. Or on the other hand, what happens is sometimes, you know, people go into like, okay, I do yoga and I do meditation and I do my personal development and I do my mantras in the morning and I do my, you know, whatevers. And they do see some results for a while, and they're able to just barely keep it under control. And then your entire life is taken up by this 7-hour routine that if you don't do, then you feel like you have no power over food. So it's like you're in prison either way. And I know it's just so incredibly frustrating. So I'm so glad that you were able to find those principles that resonated with you to let you know, like, okay, like there's got to be something better out there. And, you know, at the time, Leslie, what would you say was really hardest about, you know, being in this cycle every single day? Like, how was it impacting you besides just, I know, you know, physically feeling awful?
Yeah, I think for me, it was keeping me from really moving forward with my life. You know, I didn't go out and meet people. I was, you know, in solitude so much, and it, you know, it's so hard. You know, everyone has their trials and tribulations, but going through a divorce and trying to raise kids and having such a huge part of your life hidden, and so much shame around it, that was the hardest part, was just that, you know, I felt like everything was so fragile. Like, no one can find out that anything is wrong. And so, no, I wasn't in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really with my friends. I was trying to make my friends see that I was okay and my family think that everything was fine, when really there was all this, you know, crap going on underneath the surface that I was just slightly glazing over, you know, and at any moment, like, it could crumble.
Absolutely. And I know there's just multiple really layers of loneliness when we're in this, because, you know, on the one layer, it's we're not going out, we're not connecting with people. And then the other piece of loneliness is even when we're with people, even when we're in a situation where we should be able to connect, it's a facade, right? Because we're just trying to seem okay, or we're trying to, you know, stop thinking about the food that's over there on the table when we should be like present with somebody that we care about. And then there's another layer of loneliness of like, well, you're trying so much to hide how you are living your life and how you are spending your time. And so it's like this internal loneliness that I know is just really, really difficult. And anything else just about what that was like for you that you want to share, Leslie?
Yeah, I think the hardest part was, I think, really just dealing with all of the shame around it. You know, you could talk, it's so appropriate to talk about the diet and, you know, the new thing you're not eating, or, you know, how you feel fat, or you look like this, you don't like your thighs. But there's so much shame around, like, you know, last night I ate, you know, 3 skis of Oreos, or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, that was, there was so much in my life that was hidden. I felt like I wasn't, you know, no one really knew me. I felt so isolated.
Yeah.
And alone.
Exactly. And I think, you know, on either end, either there's just like, you know, of course, all the shame around, you know, like eating and all of that. And if we can look like we're doing okay, there's just like such a difficulty, because there's probably lots of people in your world that they're all trying to look like they're doing okay. So we get these messages of like, well, everyone's okay, and I'm the one who's struggling inside, and if they only knew. But it's just a really awful thing that we all try to like prop up of like, oh yeah, I'm doing great on my diet because I hate my thighs, and that's okay to hate my thighs, and it's the righteous thing to try to change them by not eating, but then I'm binging in secret. It's just like, it's no fun at all. So yeah, and especially for like so long. So for you, like, besides just, you know, that loneliness and feeling like nobody really knew you, like, how else was it impacting you just emotionally, just with, you know, so many, you know, decades of really being in this cycle?
It was just, you know, it was hard, because I felt like I wasn't ever really able to be myself. You know, there was, and, you know, one of the things that I'm finding is like, I didn't know what I really liked, you know. There were so many habits ingrained around dieting and binging that I didn't know what food I actually really liked. You know, what things I like to do for fun. I've been a runner for years and years. And, you know, with my eating disorder, I didn't know if I really liked it or if it was just a way to burn 300 calories, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't, and so that was the thing, is like, I didn't know who I was. Not only did, you know, was I not showing myself to other people, but I didn't know who I was without an eating disorder. I didn't know, you know, what sort of things I like to do, what made me happy, what really, you know, made me happy. I couldn't do anything because I was so busy thinking about food and the next thing I was going to eat and when I was going to eat it and how much I was going to eat and all of those details.
Yeah. And I know that so many of us have had so many life decisions, you know, sometimes down to like, you know, our career or, you know, where we live or whatever it is, to either try to avoid our issues with food or to try to fix our issues with food, right? It's like, we help so many nutritionists and dietitians and psychologists and just like people who literally went into their careers to, in the background, try to figure out this problem for themselves. And they're like, I don't know if I actually wanted to do that. It was just something that was decided by this disordered pattern of food. And so, you know, really knowing what, like you said, makes you happy. Like, if you don't know that and you're living your life, like, there's like this awful disconnect. And so I'm so glad that we were able to connect, and we're just celebrating you. So let's talk about freedom. How is your relationship different with food now than it used to be?
Wow. Yeah. So there are a million different ways. One of the pivotal moments for me in the program, when I realized like this might actually work, was I wasn't connected to food in the same way anymore. I could think about it or not think about it. And that was like this new freedom of like, you know, and I would sit there and I would talk to, you know, I would tell myself, I'm like, you know, because the normal pattern would be, okay, I'd go, you know, before I go to bed at night, I'd know, okay, what am I going to have for breakfast in the morning? And what time are we going to have it? And how much, you know? And then, so I started your program, and I would say probably like 2, maybe 3 weeks in, I would do that. My brain would go, okay, what are you going to eat for lunch? And I would go, it doesn't matter. I'll figure it out when I get there. Like, if I mean, I would be in a tailspin if I was running late and forgot to pack something in my lunch for work. I would be, oh my gosh. Now, mind you, I work in a downtown area that has probably 20 restaurants, you know, within walking distance of where I worked. That would have been unacceptable. you know, I would have been lost. My day would have been ruined. And now I have the freedom of going, oh, whoops, I forgot to pack that. You know, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go walk to, you know, this place and get whatever sounds good.
I guess I'll just do something else.
So I think that that's been the greatest gift for myself. Like, I have never had so much joy around not having to control it. Like, I don't have to think about it. I can eat if I want. I can not eat. I can leave things on my plate or take more than I end up eating. And that never happened. You know, if I was going to have a snack and I, you know, made a bowl of popcorn, I ate every last piece in that bowl, right? Like, that was how it went. And that was how every meal went. And I don't do that anymore. You know, for a while it was a little learning process, but it's like, now I really know when enough is enough, you know? And I really do know that if I throw this out, I can have the exact same thing 20 minutes from now if I want.
Like, yeah.
It sounds like the silliest thing, because I think, you know, people who maybe have never struggled with it don't get, like, what a huge deal that is to really just go, doesn't matter. That's fine. You know, what if there's nothing I want to eat at this restaurant? Well, then, you know, I can grab an appetizer or get something, or if I'm not hungry, I can just hang out with my friends.
Just be hungry.
Right.
Or if I just ate, but I want to hang out with my friends and eat, I can just keep eating. Like, it's just like,
yeah, it was so funny. And it used to be, that was the hardest part, was like, you know, family gatherings and holidays and things like that. It would just be so stressful. Like, should I eat? Should I, you know, make sure I don't eat a lot throughout the day and then go there? But then what if there's no food there that I want to eat? What am I going to do then? You know, and it was just all this, you know, back and forth, and it made, you know, it made no sense. And now it's like, we're going to go to a party tonight. We'll see what happens. You know?
Such a big deal to just not only have that freedom to be able to just focus on what's more important to you than, you know, planning meals 10 days in advance, right? And like all the weighing back and forth and should I or shouldn't I, but just like the mental energy that is back in your life, you know, it's just like, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to just do what you want and not have food be a big deal. And I think you make such a great point of like, you know, when someone's never experienced that, it's hard to really like understand what a big deal it is to not have food be a big deal. Cause that's like huge. And one thing that I love that you described so well, Leslie, is like, there's this ease in eating, right? It's like, it's not like we taught you, you know, how to eat or gave you a meal plan. It's just like, you get out of that cycle and then it's like, what sounds good? No big deal. Like, you just like see it happening. And I think that's also something that's hard to see while you're in the cycle, is because we trust ourselves so little and we're so scared about food, especially if it started, you know, early, like it did for you, that we have this idea of like, how will I ever know how to eat? You know, it's like, I'm going to be starting, you know, with beans all over my face. Like I wasn't when I was an infant. I'm just like, I know nothing, you know, but it's just like, it's, that is the piece that is always so much more simple than people expect. And I think you described that so well. I'm just like, it's just very naturally and organically not a big deal. And you just get that mental energy back. So love it. What else? What else are you celebrating in freedom?
Yeah. So I think that for me, it is just every new day is a new discovery. And that was the part that I didn't realize until I had my freedom, how unfree I was. I didn't, trying to picture a life like this, it didn't even occur to me that I wouldn't be stressed out about food when going out with people. Like, that was just, I thought, how my life was going to be, you know? I thought making decisions around food and having all of that time and energy and space in my head was just my life. It's like, kind of get dropped into a new planet, right? Like, and I'm a brand new person. Every experience is just like, this is amazing. I'm not going to eat that. or I'm going to eat more of that, or I just ate 20 minutes ago and I'm going to eat again. And it's all this stuff. And you're like, I never even pictured that level of freedom, that ability to just not worry and realize that, you know, there are things that I'm never going to like. And I think it came up for me, and the best thing, the way that I can describe it is, there are things about me I'm never going to like. And I just turned 40. And so I don't really like that I have gray hair, right? And I can color it, but ultimately, I still have gray hair. Like, that's just what it is. And I can sit here and not like the fact that I don't like that I have short legs, but they're still my legs. I can't do anything. And sure, I could try to manipulate them with diets and that, but what I'm able to do now without dieting and all of that is worth so much more. It doesn't even make sense to me anymore. The idea of, you know, restricting my food to look a certain way just doesn't make any sense. Sometimes coloring your hair might make you feel good for a little bit, but it doesn't change the fact that we're aging, you know? And dieting might make you feel good for a little bit, but it doesn't last. Just like, you know, all of that stuff, the makeup washes off, you know, that stuff is not forever. And it's not worth it, you know? Maybe it is worth it to put a little mascara on in the morning, but, you know, to feel a little better about yourself. But all of the pain and suffering of dieting is not worth what I'm able to do every day today that I never would have imagined.
And isn't that amazing how, like, on this side it's just like, of course, but then on the other side it's like, no, that would be the scariest thing ever to never diet again, right? So it's just like, it's just this amazing sort of waking up feeling. And I think that's such a cool comparison of just like, you know, your hair is gray, I've got lots of gray as well, you know, and it's just like, that's gonna happen, you know, like that's just the way that it is. But unlike, you know, like, you know, if we have gray and we, you know, dye our hair, then okay. And then if we don't, then it just comes back gray. With our bodies and dieting, it's like covering up the gray. And then as soon as that wears off, then you have like 10 times as much gray, right? Until like, so the scary thing about dieting is because everything gets worse every time you try to do something about it. And just like with the gray, you know, it's not like we have a panic and like, okay, we're going to change our whole lives and we're going to ruin our health trying to like get this to change. It's just like, you know, we panic about our bodies. And so for any of you who might have some chatter coming up for you, who might have some panic of like, oh, well, that's all great for Leslie, right? But it's like, for me, like I could never just eat what I wanted. I would just go crazy. I could never eat what I wanted. If I relaxed, I would just go insane. And the thing is that you've got to ask yourself, but how are you eating now? How are you eating now when you're trying to restrict? And having thing A or thing B for lunch just isn't a very big deal in the scheme of things, but it definitely feels like it when you're eating 5,000 extra calories of chocolate in the evening, because now every opportunity for a healthy meal seems like an emergency. So it's just like, just frees you up. It just gives you so much space and freedom to be able to just have choices because you don't have that emergency anymore. And just that acceptance, like, do you feel happier, Leslie, just not trying to like manipulate your body all the time?
Definitely. There's the pressure's off. I mean, that's the greatest, I think the greatest gift is that there isn't, I'm so much nicer to myself than all I realized, you know, is going through this whole process is that I was probably my own worst enemy. I treated myself so poorly. The things that when I started calling out the chatter that I said to myself, I was like, oh, I'm such a jerk. Like, I wouldn't say that to another human being, no matter how mad I was at them. And that's how I spoke to myself every single day. And that's the thing that's great is it's like now I can go, really, Leslie? Is that what you're trying to tell yourself right now? That's not cool. Like, it's not cool to talk to someone like that, including you. Like, you deserve to be treated better. And I am. I'm able to do that and recognize it. Before, I just thought that was me. Like, I didn't even, those thoughts would go through my head and I just thought, yep, that's true. Yep, that's true. Yep, you're ridiculous. Yes, you're fat. You're eating way too much. And all of these mean, awful, bully type things would just go through my head and I wouldn't question the thing. And that's how I was living my life.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So huge. I love it. This is such a beautiful celebration of not just being free with food, although that's super cool. Don't get me wrong. That's really cool. But stepping into being able to be kind to yourself, stepping into, you know, your power, you know, realizing what is an acceptable way to be treated by not just others, but yourself, like really up-leveling in your life is such an incredible thing. And can I just bring attention to an irony here of look how we go on this like personal development journey, right? To try to fix our eating, which doesn't work. And then in just fixing our eating and fixing the food stuff, then isn't it interesting that it's just naturally become a personal development journey of just like, oh, now I can be kind to myself. And now I can, you know, have this higher respect for myself. And now, you know, I can, you know, step into things that I know that, you know, I deserve and that are important and actually be aware of that, know what to do with it. Like, it's a really, really cool thing how that works out. So love it. What else are you celebrating?
You know, I think that's, it's just this new energy that I have, this new ability to sit down and be with my family and really be there, you know, and it's never happened before. Like I get lost in things. I'm finding like myself trying new hobbies and doing things and really getting, you know, losing track of time, which never happened. You know, I was always on a schedule of like, you know, this is when I eat again and this is when I do this. And, you know, everything was so regimented and so strict. And now I can really explore who I am and really see like, okay, do I like how I feel when I do this? Or, you know, does it feel good to, you know, to be able to sit down with my family and just play a game for hours, you know, or watch a movie or just have a conversation or when I'm tired, take a nap, like all of these things where it's like, I didn't know who I was. And now I'm in this new person. I'm like this, you know, it's like this new world where I'm like, okay, let's see, do you like doing this? You know, before it was, I always had something that had to happen next, you know, and it always evolved around food and exercise and, you know, making sure that everything was lined up. And now it's like, I can try new hobbies. I can sit down and read books and not, I mean, I couldn't read a book because I would get distracted.
Yeah.
By all those thoughts coming through my head. And, you know, I couldn't do that. Or I wouldn't want to sit down with my kids and watch a movie because I knew I wouldn't be able to make it through the whole thing without having to eat something or, you know, or be thinking about that. And there's just, it's so great to really actually be present in their lives now in a way that, like, I can tell is completely different. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. Such a big deal. And not just for you, like you're super important, Leslie, but in you and being able to like have that personal freedom, think of how many other lives are being impacted. You know, it's like, how does it change a kid's life to have their mom be able to be present with them? You know, like how does it change a relationship to be able to have a relationship be two people instead of like a partnership and then this thing about food that always has to be in all of our decisions, right? It's like, you know, just being able to decide to go out to a restaurant with somebody where it's not like, oh, let me see what my eating disorder is commanding me to do, you know?
Especially, yeah. Oh, that's totally, it's so funny, yeah. I mean, there's just so much freedom, like you said, just picking restaurants knowing that, I mean, I have a 12-year-old daughter, knowing that she's hitting that age, like she's getting there, you know? To the place where I was, and now I can finally, without any sort of, I mean, I have plenty of mom guilt in other areas, but without, you know, without that guilt of like, I'm demonstrating good things to her when it comes to food and my body and my choices. And I'm showing her it's not a big deal, you know, that food isn't everything and how you look isn't everything. And that's probably the biggest thing that drove me to this, I think, was just recognizing, like, she was coming up on the age that I was when that happened. And I knew going on with my life like it was, she was going to figure it out, you know, and that is not a lesson I want to pass down. Like, it's just one of those things that, you know, if this dies with my generation, hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah is right. Oh, that is a really, really big deal, because you've seen exactly from your own life how that happens when you're surrounded by that. And, you know, our kids don't do what we say. They notice who we are. And like you said, like, there is no hiding that. You know, a 12-year-old girl is super smart, and she's going to see exactly how you feel about food and exactly how you feel about your body. And she's going to either, you know, pick up on that, or it's just going to be a horrible warning to her of, like, how, you know, awful that is to be in that cycle, but still very likely to do the same thing. And so just, you know, the people that we save and, like, the lives that are changed by just our example of being able to be free and at peace and present, and it's a really big deal for all of life. I'm so excited for you. Anything else on your mind that you just wanted to celebrate in, you know, your journey, or to what freedom means, or do you feel like that's complete, or anything else sort of on your heart?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things I wanted to share is that I always thought I had a vision of freedom where it was, I would find the perfect way of eating, and it would all make sense, right? And going through this program, I realized, like, there is no such thing. And when you give yourself a little bit of grace about that, it makes life so much easier in so many ways that it lets you let go of the expectations, and really just let yourself be who you're supposed to be. And if there's anything that anybody that's thinking, you know, that they're struggling with this and they don't have a way out, is like, if you can give yourself just a moment of grace and get a taste of what this, like, what freedom really truly is, it's enough. And it can snowball so quickly. I wouldn't have imagined that these changes would have been possible as quickly as they happen. But it's a leap of faith in yourself. And it is really coming from the other side, not knowing that this is even, just like I said, I couldn't imagine my life being like this. I just didn't have that experience. You know, I had so wrapped up in diets and binging and all of those terrible things that, like, I didn't know that this was even possible. So it was, you know, you jump off the cliff and you don't know what's over there, right? Like, yeah, like, I swear, I really, really hope there's someplace soft to land. And there is. But, you know, it's a leap of faith.
Yeah, and that's always, you know, just such a brave step. And just want to say huge congratulations for making that. You didn't have to choose that, Leslie. You could have stayed in this cycle for the rest of your life. And we're not here to convince you of anything, but you chose your freedom. Even though you didn't know exactly what that would be like, and even though you'd never really felt what that was like, you still chose to be free. And we just honor that choice, and we honor that decision, and then showing up and really doing the work. This wasn't something that happened to you, right? Like, this is something where you were outside of your comfort zone and you were doing the work and you were so coachable. And it's like, you know, those are the things that, you know, have to be a decision of how you show up, because we cannot do this for you. And I just want to celebrate you in the way that you really have, and the incredible freedom that you gained. And although, like, it's always a brave choice, right? Like, it's a scary thing to take that leap of faith. But just because it's unknown doesn't mean that you don't have the choice. Like, you still have the choices. It's always there. And so I just want to, you know, reiterate that. Because sometimes we say, like, well, I trust myself so little. Like, oh, well, you know, this has been so long. How can I possibly, you know, trust myself to make a choice? that you're going to choose either way, right? You're like, you're going to choose to stay in the cycle or you're going to choose to be free. And just want to congratulate you for choosing that freedom and getting to like live it. Isn't that fun?
Yes, it's been awesome. It really has.
Beautiful. Anything else on your mind or your heart for today? Well, let's see. We are just, oh, what are you saying?
I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, and I'm so glad that we got to really, you know, dive into your just beautiful story. Like, and your story is so many people's stories, you know, it's like so many of us started into this cycle before we had any sort of education about what the consequences were. You know, it's like, this was the thing that we inherited. We inherited an eating disorder. Like that was something that was all around us. So to break free from that is a really big deal. And so it's so, so cool. Congratulations again. We are so, so thrilled for you. And as I know that you know and can feel and have seen the process, is it just keeps getting better, right? It's like all these little bits of freedom are popping up and like you're at the place where you're like still noticing them, but then it's just going to be everyday life of just like, oh, freedom and normalcy around food. Like that's just going to be so old hat. So like, you know, enjoy really all the fun things that you're getting to notice of like, wow, that's totally different than it would have been in the past. And oh, that's a thing that I like didn't even realize was hard until now that it's easy. And it's just so cool. So thank you so much for being on, Leslie. It's just so amazing to celebrate you. We're so, so happy for you. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Leslie signing off. Bye, guys. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah! Thank you.